Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all. We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Here for a
There are no accidental births. Everyone is here for a purpose. And so we must discover that purpose in order for us to manifest it. Well, today we're going to talk about discovering your purpose and making that idea of a divine purpose as part of the curriculum for the New Earth School being developed to provide a means for parents to empower their children with knowledge. We know that these last few years now, we're in year two of the global pandemic, a condition that has changed the way we live our lives and has also given us an opportunity to see what systems that we really don't need anymore, what is obsolete, what can be remade, what must be remade in order for us to fit into the new world, because we're not going to go back to the way things were. The way things were was good for some people, but for many of us, we're realizing the frustration in trying to live these extremely rushed, hurried lives where we don't have time to think, plan, or enjoy the life we're living. And so no one wants to go back to that rush, rush, rush lifestyle, nor do we want to indoctrinate our children to fit into it. The educational system our children have been forced into was designed for an age of industrialization when there was a need to produce factory workers. Well, now that so much of the work that's being done is done by machines, that is no longer the need. So what are our children really learning that is productive and beneficial and relevant to the lives that they must live? Very little. Very little that they are learning in the current education system has any relevance to their lives, and they know it. And this is why they're uninterested. And now that parents have to force them to learn these things at home, parents are seeing the futility of trying to force feed their children irrelevant information. Let us call it for what it is. Many of you remember that story about the emperor who has no foes. And this was a story of basically some swindlers that were telling people that the emperor was going to be fitted with some very special material, a new outfit of clothing that only the intelligent people could see. But if you're a fool, you can't even see the material because it's just that magical, just that special. You're a horrible person, a bad person, if you can't see the material that emperor was going to have his garments made out of. So these swindlers, they took a whole bunch of money and they pretended to sew fabrics and everything. And the emperor, of course, he saw them making motions like they had fabrics on this big room where they're weaving and all this sort of thing. He couldn't see it, but he also was afraid to admit he couldn't see any clothing, any garments, any fabrics, because the word was, this was special magical material. And only the intelligent people, only the good people could see it. Anybody who couldn't see it was just a fool, an idiot, a person that just was no good. The emperor kept to himself that he saw nothing as these swindlers were pretending to weave all these wonderful garments. So the day came, he was supposed to be paraded down the street. Everybody heard about these garments, you know. If you couldn't see it, if you couldn't see the clothing, then that meant something was wrong with you. You were a fool. You were ignorant. You were bad. You were horrible. You were unworthy. But, of course, if you're a good, intelligent person, you will see these beautiful garments that he's wearing. So they stood him up, and he, of course, had nothing on. All of his garments were supposed to be made out of this special magical material. Well, the day came when he put into his chariot and he paraded down the street, and everybody could see his wonderful new clothes. And so as he paraded down the street, his chariot of horses drawing him, and he's, you know, rolling down the street, and everybody's crowd on either side, and of course, nobody could see any clothing, but no one wanted to admit they couldn't see it, because then that would have made something wrong with them. If they couldn't see that he didn't appear to have any clothing on, that meant something was wrong with them, because their eyes couldn't see this special magical material. So everybody, as he's paraded down the street, his horses drawing the chariot, and he's, you know, posing like he's got these beautiful robes and everything that the swindlers told him this is what they created for him. And so he's acting as if he's wearing these wonderful robes of beautiful garments that's made out of magical material. And everybody's cheering like, ah, yeah, pretending like they could see it. They didn't want anybody to know they couldn't see it. And they're cheering, yay! And all, and everybody's just pretending like they're, oh, it's so beautiful. Look at that wonderful robe he's wearing. Oh, this fabulous color. No, this is beautiful. And he's acting like he's got it on. And everybody's faking like they could see his garment. Well, there was a little child that was watching. And here this emperor is parading around totally nude as far as he could see. So the child looks. And as everybody's cheering, the child just says, but he has nothing on. And crowd looked at the child. Well, of course, the child was just a child. The child was innocent. A child can't be a fool. A child can't be bad. A child is a child. And so gradually someone else said, you know, he has nothing on. And then other people started admitting that they didn't see anything either. And they said, he has nothing on. And everybody eventually started admitting that they couldn't see this. He has nothing on. He has nothing on. Oh, he has nothing on. And then soon the whole crowd was saying, but he has nothing on. And the emperor finally realized that not only could he not see the garment, nobody could see the garment because he had nothing on. And no one would admit that they couldn't see it because they were afraid to be called a fool. And the emperor realized he had been swindled. Of course, he was highly embarrassed, but he had to keep faking like he was wearing these great robes until he finally got back to his castle. Get himself in shame from then on, but that was a lesson learned. I've always loved that book about the emperor's soldier because it speaks to us to tell the truth about what we see or don't, and not to pretend something is there when it isn't. We have been pretending to educate children with knowledge that's going to help their lives for centuries. We have been feeding them propaganda. We have been giving them misinformation. We have been forcing them to learn things that have nothing to do with how you live your life. And no one wants to say, but this information is irrelevant. They will never need to know these things when it comes to how they live their lives. We need to be like that child that admitted what was not there, but he has nothing on. If you're a parent, look through your child's school list. Look at what they're learning in history. Look at what they're learning in geography. Look at what they're learning and look at what they're learning in English literature. Look at what they're learning in social studies. Look at what they're learning in health. Look thoroughly through their studies. How much of that information is empowering them to live healthy, balanced lives in which they can cooperate with each other and create what they need to survive? After 12 years of this information, are they able to do that? No. Then why are we teaching them? Why are we forcing them to learn propaganda as history and propaganda as literature and science that is truly flawed because it's based on lack of knowledge of the universe. Why are we teaching that which is not going to help them evolve into the people that they came to be? Nor is it preparing them to work cooperatively to create that which they need for their well-being and their survival and the survival of all of those in their midst. Mother Earth gives us everything we need for absolutely free. Why are we not learning about the medicinal herbs and plants that can? Why are we not learning about the importance of maintaining the balance of nutrients in our bodies? Why are we not learning how to promote the self-healing capabilities that we have? Why are we not learning other people's languages so that we can communicate effectively? Why are we not learning that which would help us create the world that would be a world of peace, comfort, and abundance for all? Why are we not learning about the soil and what it needs to nourish us with the kind of food that we can grow naturally? Why are we not learning these? Why are we not learning how to make homes that are in harmony with the existing ecological balance? Materials that are sturdy and yet not out of harmony with the existing climate and environment. Why are we not learning how to live balanced life with the wildlife, with the trees and plants? Why are we not learning how to create means of mobility that don't pollute the air or the water? Why are we not learning humane ways of treating the animals that we share what they offer in terms of clothing? Why are we not learning the things that would help our children create systems to enhance life? Why are we not learning that which would correct the mistakes we have made? Why are we not learning that we made mistakes? Why are we being like the people who would not speak the truth that was right before their eyes, and yet they were pressured to pretend that they were seeing something magnificent that really was not there? We need to be like that innocent child and tell the truth, but it has nothing on. So today we want to talk about the foundation food curriculum that we've been developing over this past year, in realization that we're not going to go back to the school system the way it was. And parents need to take responsibility for what they want their children to know, realizing that what their children are being force-fed in terms of education is totally irrelevant, and it doesn't hold the children's attention. And you have to abuse your child in order to force them to sit still and pay attention. I'm not being negative. I want parents to stop feeling frustrated when they witness their children having no interest in trying to learn in an environment that is not motivational and inspiring. What happens inside of a classroom? What do teachers use to motivate children to sit quietly and listen? They use humiliation. They use fears of public embarrassment. They use threats of punishment. Every now and then, you will find a teacher who has the skills to use inspiration. And usually those are the teachers that are not given the opportunity to provide an example for other teachers that are using humiliation and fear of punishment. So school is not a very emotionally healthy place for children. It's usually traumatizing. And many who are missing it, they're missing the social interaction with their friends. They're not missing being forced to learn irrelevant information. So we have the power to create more balance, more relevant, more helpful, more empowering than what we have been forced to acquiesce to for decades upon decades upon decades. It's our responsibility to admit that what our children are learning is designed to fit them into a system that itself is crumbling. Slave economy in which masses of people are being programmed for working 9-to-5 jobs that require them to live a regimented schedule away from their family in a way that has been unnatural. For decades, men were expected to work, whether it's in factory work or whatever they did, they were away from their families and only came home for dinner and then went to bed and started the whole thing over again. As a result, they had no relationship with their children. And the child-rearing responsibilities were pretty much solely the responsibility of the mother. That was an imbalanced way of living because the children didn't develop the kind of emotional bond that they should have had with their father, and the fathers didn't develop the kind of emotional bond they should have had with their children. So now we had a period of time where women were being put into the workforce to supplement the absence of men while the country participated in a global conflict. So after World Wars I and II, involving many nations in an economic conflict between European nations, women entered the workforce. And then you had a two-parent working family, which industries realized was much more profitable to have everybody working. But then who's raising the children? So then you have the conflict of mothers expecting to continue their sole responsibility of parenting and fathers still not having learned how to parent, and the subsequent conflicts that led to the divorce increase because an adjustment wasn't made so that both parents could share the parental responsibilities as they were both sharing the financial responsibilities. So now we've got the rise of the single parent, often female-headed household, sometimes male-headed household, depending upon which parent is more emotionally stable to take care of the children. And we have children who have been raised by institutions, spending most of the time in school and after-school programs and all other supplemental programs because parents were not present in the home to raise them, working jobs to maintain an economic lifestyle of debt and payment of debt. And so children raised in institutions did not develop the kinds of ethics and values that would have enabled them, empowered them, how to work cooperatively. So we have a culture of conflict, violence, bullying, children that were lacking nurturing, raised on education through entertainment from television, and now and this disconnected computer age, you have children being raised by cell phones, iPads, and computers, disconnected from family life, forced into institutions trying to cram irrelevant information into them. They're angry and frustrated and too early sexualized without the context of family. We have really made a mess. So thank God for this coronavirus that has made us stop. Just ground it to a halt, because this is a mess we have made. We've made a mess. And now we have an opportunity to clean it up. We have an opportunity to dismantle all of the systems that have made this mess and create something that makes sense, something that works, something that is in harmony with existence in a peaceful, cooperative society in which profit-making by a few is not the agenda and the reason for education. The reason for education is to bring out of the child the creative energy, talents, and skills that can empower them to give to the world community. We are all here to enhance life and enjoy life, not to work in enslavement and servitude to someone else. And so our purpose for educating our children must be to empower them to create the new earth by admitting to them that we have made a mess and they are the generation that will create that which should be by learning from our past mistakes and never repeating them again. We have to be as truthful as the child who looked at this emperor driving naked through the street, and the child had the courage to say, but he has nothing on. We must have that same courage to admit all of the abusive economic systems and social systems, these repressive police systems. All of these things are not beneficial, and we must not be training our children to conform to them. We must empower our children to create something totally different. Realize that what we have made is a mess. So we're going to talk about how our first step must be to define for our children who they are, and what is the history of which they live. How did we get to this point? Not the propaganda, not the trying to make some groups better than others, or some people smarter than others, but what happened? And what did we learn from that? And what should we do instead of that which we did, which causes this current problem that we have? What good things did we do? And what things did we do that were not good? Who did we help and who did we hurt? And how do we not hurt anyone ever again? This is a higher consciousness. For those who are ready to be as truthful as the child who looked at the emperor driving down the street in his chariot with absolutely nothing on, the child that was willing to speak the truth and give courage to others who also saw it but were afraid to admit it, to openly say this. so, we are ready to begin the new earth homeschool curriculum for those families that are ready to take back their power to be the parents and the first teacher of their children. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we invite you to give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll come right to you and get your thoughts. First question, who am I and why am I here? That's a question that every child should know, and know from a perspective that is empowering. And give them a vision of why they exist and what the purpose of their education is and what they will learn that will help them evolve into the person they are becoming and how they will contribute to the world today. Who am I? Why am I? We'll be right back after this quick break. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. And press 1 when you're ready to speak. And, of course, we'll come right to you and get your comments. We've got some calls on the switchboard right now. 773-221 coming to you right after the break.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our hosts. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of our cells, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solution Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
We all say we would like to be wealthy, but wealth isn't determined by how much money you have. Wealth is determined by your power to define what money is. The dictionary defines money as something used as a way to pay for goods and services and to pay people for their work. So how would you like to have access to an unlimited source of money? Money that is not taxed by the government. Money that increases as you share the opportunity with others. Money that you can use to pay for goods and services and pay people for their work. I'm talking about Bitcoin. It's the future of independent wealth building. Bitcoin is the new money that you control. Get started building your wealth. Call 312-849-3456. That's 312-849-3456.
Area code three. Grand Rising, give us your name and where you're calling from. Here you're coming.
Grand Rising, that's L.A. from Florida. Boy, you opened up a topic. I had to write down some notes to keep my comments short, because there's a lot to it. But the way I look at this topic, and I'm going to answer your question, at least one of them. Well, let me start off with that. Who am I, and what is my purpose? I believe that's a very good fundamental question that everybody needs to ask themselves, particularly when it comes to education. And here are my views on it. First thing, I think, particularly if you have children or anything like that, you got to start off with what I call real elementary education. And here's what I mean by that. I don't think, in my opinion, particularly in Western countries, elementary school, in my opinion, is they don't teach you anything, in my opinion, maybe arithmetic, but outside of arithmetic, they don't teach anything what I would call elementary, as far as the basic fundamentals of life that everybody needs across the board. Now, I'm a baby boomer, and I would say 95%, if not more, of baby boomers, particularly in Western countries, are miseducated, even if they have a PhD in finance from the Wharton School of Law, School of Business. In order to find your purpose, I think you need to take a look at, if I was teaching elementary school kids, and in some people, regardless of what age they're at right now, I think one fundamental elementary thing that people need to learn or study first is Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Every human being who's ever lived and never will live will be locked into what you find with his hierarchy of needs. And as a barometer, I like people to take a look at the first 23 presidents of the United States. Now, there's only been 46, including Biden. But the first 23 presidents of the United States, most of who were wealthy men, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Andrew, people like that, what's interesting about, this is why I use it as a barometer, an educational barometer, particularly with L.A.'s definition of elementary school, is these people live a complete life without any electricity. George Washington didn't know what the hell a light bulb was. Thomas Jefferson, who left behind a big estate, and so did these other presidents, they never had a light. They don't even know what a light bulb, because it wasn't existed then. They didn't have any electricity. The White House, for the first three presidents of the United States, had no indoor plumbing as we know it today.
Can people even imagine that?
Exactly. So I'm looking at, now, how did these dudes, forget, I know some people in the background saying, well, they had slaves. No. Take out the slave thing. The population at hand, some of who were wealthy and not in politics, had no indoor plumbing, had no electricity. There was no such thing as a light bill, water bill, electric bill. So I'm looking at now, in 2021, a lot of us have problems because we're paying for things out of our pocket that they never had to pay for. We got a water bill today because the average person, particularly in Western countries, has not, we are not taught the elementary life skill of how to harvest water. If you look at the caveman knew how to do that. We don't know how to do that, the average person in 2021. Also, if you look at the people that lived during that period, I mean, once again, for the first 23 presidents of the United States.
First 23.
Thanks to Viata for this one. The average person back then had their grocery store in their backyard. They knew how to grow Whole Foods. We want to go to Whole Foods and purchase. So we don't even know how to feed ourselves. Not all of us, but I'd say at least 95% of the population in Western countries do not know how to feed themselves. If you take away the legal tender, euros, dollars, rubles, whatever you're dealing with to buy stuff, the average person does not know how to feed themselves, meaning they don't know how to grow food or they don't know how to catch it.
That is true.
So I think fundamentally, even if your child wants to become a rocket scientist, and then some of these fundamentals, once again, in my opinion, need to be taught regardless of what life path that your child or you as a human being have. You need to learn the basic, what I call elementary education, and then teach your kids or grandkids or whatever you got on how to teach the next generation on how to do the same thing so they can keep it going on so your great-grandchildren's great-grandchildren, I mean, it's passed along, because if not, the situation I got right now is I'm dealing with a family member and on some income property, rental property. It's been around for a long time, okay? And when repairs need to be made, I'm asking, because I got a cousin of mine, first cousin, she's got great-grandchildren now, all right? And I'm saying, can you get one of your grandsons or granddaughters? I mean, the toilet needed to be repaired on one of the properties. So I wrote down a list. The materials cost, it cost less than $20 for the materials. And I wrote down the materials, sent it to her by text, and then put in some YouTube videos. And I said, if you got any questions, give me a call, because I'm in one state, she's in another. All right. And her grandkids are all right there with her. But so far, in the last 2 years, I've been because I can't tell a person what to do with their kids or grandkids. But I might have to set up a school and make it mandatory for if these properties to be passed on, they got to go to the family school and learn these fundamentals, because every time a repair comes up, you're wasting money by having a company come out and repair. Something that could have been repaired for less than $100 ends up costing $200 or $300. Why? Because somebody in the family has not been fundamentally educated on how to have a sustainable business model with that particular generational wealth tool. Anyway, those are my comments on elementary education and what's my purpose. At least that's part of my purpose, and I think that's part of everybody's purpose.
Well, I think you kind of pretty much hit the nail on the head in terms of why our schools are totally irrelevant. And we don't realize that the way we live now is unnatural. Everything has been monetized that used to be something we did that cost nothing. Like you say, it didn't cost to live. You didn't pay an electric bill. You didn't pay a heating bill. You went out and chopped the wood and you heated up your home with a fire. That wood that you had on your property. You didn't have grocery bills. You didn't have a phone bill. You know, you walked and talked to your neighbor. You sent them a letter, and go to the post office.
Oh, you know what, Naima, what you're saying, that's real Social Security.
Yes.
We have no business going to the social services office. Most, and I'm not knocking the social, you got to do what you got to do in 2021, but most people that go to the social services office is socially bankrupt. They have burnt bridges with blood relatives and friends.
That's a very key point, because who pays for a babysitter? You had your sisters, your brothers, your aunties, your uncles, your grandparents. You had grandparents living in a home. You didn't send your grandparents out to be cared for in a home and got to pay for that. You had extended family, so everybody watched the children. You didn't have children home alone because you weren't happy. You didn't have to be going out to work. If you were If you had a farm, you're working your own land, so you're at home. The children help with the farming, so they learn life skills. So why would we think that this so-called modern way of doing things was better when it separated parents from children and children are learning irrelevant things to prepare them for factory work instead of learning how to grow the food that they ate? So now you've got these corporate farms that are taking care of feeding us and putting preservatives in the food that kill us so they can last longer on the shelves, and we're learning irrelevant things in school so we can be in the factories to do the packaging and the boxing and the shipping and all these things that are part of this whole structurized corporate run system of feeding ourselves. Meanwhile, our children don't know how to grow a piece of cabbage, you know, don't know how to grow an ear of corn. But they have to sit up 8 hours a day in school teaching them irrelevant information that after 12 years they still can't put a seed in the ground and grow an apple tree or grow some greens or grow some tomatoes. But they got 12 years of irrelevant information, and then they hope that somebody hires them to work in some factory or something. And this is what we've been doing for decades. And like you say, years ago, you had everything you needed. It didn't cost to live. You provided everything you needed. Yeah, you might have been more physical labor, but it was your labor. You did it. You owned your time, and you spent time with your children. You raised your children in your home. They learned from you. They learned ethics, moral values from you in your home. And so you didn't have children running the streets shooting each other and carjacking, because they were in the home with the parents learning how to live. And so now that we have created this system where children are spending 6-8 hours a day learning irrelevant information, coming back not knowing any life skills, we're trying to figure out, well, how did this happen? Was this like you just ran down? People were not living in a way that other people took care of them, took care of their food and their heating and their clothing. I mean, people made their own clothes. They made whatever they needed, and they were self-sufficient. We have become dependent. And I think when somebody called in on Joey's show yesterday that said, We're all enslaved anyway, or might have been even her guest had pointed out, the economic system that we're living under has made everybody a slave. Earth is a free planet. Why are we paying to live? Why are we paying to live? We have to really think about that and realize that should not be. It should not cost to live. When you learn how to take care of yourself, it doesn't cost you to live. So rather than us having educational systems that prepare our children to be enslaved to an economic system in which they are paying to be taken care of by other people, they should be learning how to take care of themselves, because it does not cost to live. So, LA, I definitely thank you for being that child that speaks the truth and says the emperor has nothing on, because that's what we need to see clearly. This system should not be. We should not be dependent upon these corporately controlled systems of functioning so that we can't do something as simple as feed ourselves. All of us are enslaved until we choose to stop it. So now, LA, if you were going to tell a child what is their purpose, or ask them what is their purpose, what do you think is the best way for a child to be encouraged to see themselves as someone who is a free, creative being that contributes something to the human family? How do we start children out at the age of 4 or 5 with that vision of themselves as
Well, I don't know if I can answer that one. The closest I can get on it would be, you said 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Man, that's really young. Well, homeschooling, I mean, at that age, a lot of kids, they want to learn. I'll give you an example. I was over in Germany, and a friend of mine, her son was, he was maybe 3 or 4, around that age. So I was in the kitchen preparing dinner, and I'm one of these people that, you know, when I'm preparing, get out of my kitchen. But then I caught myself and said, wait a minute, he's 3 or 4 and he wants to learn. So I let him help me. You know, I was very patient. And, you know, we did, it was a simple, you know, spaghetti dinner. But I let him help me. I taught him how to, you know, be careful and cut stuff and everything and praise them and that type of thing. So I, at that age, whatever they have an interest in, you know, teach them all you can. And if you don't know how to do it, then maybe one of your friends or relatives can teach them. So, because you're right, the earlier, we're learning sponges at that age.
Yes. So now just think about it. You got these young, energetic people. They're, you know, full of energy, full of life, full of wonder about everything. Why are we putting them in an environment where we're expecting them to sit down, be quiet, indoors, where it's stifling, and then we call them bad when they want to jump and run and play? And what they want to do is to learn how to do what we're doing because they're sponges, like you said. So I would say that the best environment for those early years for children is outdoors in nature. First, show them the world they live in. Show them the environment that they live in. Show them and let them see how the birds are flying in synchronicity, and let them see the all the plants that grow on the ground, and let them see the trees. Let them see and observe and help them understand how each thing interacts. Help them to see that we're all part of this one beautiful system. Let them be outdoors. Let them run through the grass. Let them teach them under a tree, not in a classroom. Teach them where they can hear the birds. Teach them where life is natural. And let them explore and let them describe what they're seeing. Let them look at the ants as they all work together and carrying one big crumb of food together to their ant hill. And let them see these things. Let the world be their classroom. Let the parks, the fields, the natural environment be their classroom where they're learning. This is your home where you live. You're a part of all of this. So what are you observing? Let them learn. Let them be sponges. Let them understand life. That's the first class. And so rather than them be in an environment where they're constantly being reprimanded and told they're bad and made to stifle their energy, let them be free to learn and let them explore the universe. Let them sometimes be outside when it's dark and look at the stars, look at the moon, look at the planets. Teach them they are part of the universe and they are a wonderful part of that. And let there be no reprimanding of children or calling them bad, because there are no bad children. They just want to learn. So give them an open field to learn and explore, and let them see how all the other species work together, cooperate. Let them see how the birds fly in formation, and then talk about that. Well, what do you think about that? How do you think they know how to do that? Watch how they're able to all move and move. Watch all of the wonderful things that are happening around them. Listen to the different calls of the different kinds of things. Look at the different kinds of nests that they make in the trees. Look at the squirrels. Look at natural environment. That's what our modern-day children have been robbed of. So we close the minds of children in this kind of industrialized education system. We need to reopen their minds. That's the first step.
You know, Naima, you're absolutely right. Matter of fact, one of the lessons that you can learn from nature at any age, and this deals with relationships between men and women, or whatever your preference is these days, is, and you can probably catch this on Animal Planet or whatever, when it comes to relationships, certain species of birds, matter of fact, many species of birds, let's take the house wren, which there are plenty of those in an urban area. The male house wren, they do not mate. There's no mating season until the male wren first builds. He builds maybe about 3 to 5 nests. And then he starts looking for a female to, you know, they fly around and look at the nest that he's already built. All right. And if she picks out one, that's where they mate. Now, that lesson, I think, can be, humans can pick up that lesson. In other words, before you have sex with somebody, you're not thinking about the future, what could happen, get your house built first. The Amish do this, and some of the Mennonites do it also. They have the house built first, or they get together with the woman's family, his family and her family, get together and build a debt-free house from the get-go. So that's another lesson, you know, lessons that you can learn from just, like you said, in nature, just checking out who does what.
I think that's a powerful way to teach a very important lesson in life. And if you teach it early where it's understood, you never have to teach it again because they understood on a deeper level that you're preparing for your life. So that decision to engage in life-creating activities is made consciously because you know you first got to build your house because you're getting ready to bring new life. That's the purpose. I think that's one of the most powerful things we can do. Well, we're going to take our next break, and we want you all to participate in this conversation because we are revolutionizing thought, and we're raising the next generation to revolutionize the world by admitting what we have is open. It doesn't work. And it's time to create the new earth. We'll be right back after this quick break. If you're listening online, we want you to join this conversation. Give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll come right to you and get your thoughts. And if you're on our switchboard now and have a thought, press 1. Don't raise your hand. What time it goes with. I am not staying over. I love you all, but at 9 o'clock, I'm gone. So if you have something to say, press 1. And we will get your thoughts as we discuss teaching children their purpose in life. New Earth School Lesson 1. We'll be right back after this quick break. So stay with us.
Hallelujah, greetings in the spirit of Wayo and Yah Shalom. Wayo means we are one. Yah is Hebrew sacred name for God, and Shalom means peace. I'm Evangel Mamadi Love Yah Nubian, and I'm inviting you to join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Wisdom with Mamadi. Call in number 515-605-9325. Wisdom. Women in support of daughters on motherhood preparation. And spiritually speaking, men who do the will of Yah are mothers too. As a Montessori educator, author, activist, international award-winning poet, and ordained minister, females, I want you to say farewell to all things, seen and unseen, that prevent your potential. You bring forth life and give birth to babies. A kid is an animal beast with 4 legs, A child is a human being person with two legs. Facts can change feelings, but feelings cannot change facts. A mother teaches love. Love is the arm that reaches out and holds two persons and things together. That's what Wisdom with Mama D is about. Join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Call in 515-605-9325 to share your wisdom and love souls into shape. Remember, mother's farewell. If you don't, your child won't. And if he doesn't, society is abused. Females, you are global transformers with the power to change this world. Use it.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Does not produce the kind of society we would like to live in. So why do we keep trying to make it easy? Let it go. Thanks to the coronavirus, we have had an opportunity to be in our homes with our children as we should have been. And now we can see what they really need is better parents. So let's go back to our phone line and take some more calls. And, of course, if you are watching online, feel free to comment. If you're watching us on Facebook, feel free to write in your comments. We will share them with our listening and viewing audience. And let's go to area code. And we're, before the end of the show, we're going to open up all the mics. So for those who have spoken, you'll get a chance to add more comments. And, of course, we're going to go to area code 773-221, Grand Rising. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your thoughts.
Yes, thank you, Sister Naima, Andrew Nelson. I thank Brother for saying what he said as it relates to the basic elementary things need to be taught. One of the 6 to 8 courses in the Universal Compulsory Education stipulated in the Declaration of Living Soul Status and National Reparations Referendum, primarily for African American, in the sense of chattel slavery, is home economics. And it would certainly entail that. Also, it's my understanding that it's the elite who ultimately determine the curriculum. And some members of the elite are actually good or benevolent, people like Elon Musk, David, Mayor de Rothschild, who's the son of Lynn Rothschild of the UK. Make a long story short, what has to happen is the right people have to be put into the positions of government, primarily the U.S. President, Vice President, and maybe United Nations Secretary General, to really implement a system that will bring up that about as a natural matter of course. I am particularly adept at doing this, and this is why the congressional legislation of which Andrew Nelson is the author must necessarily be passed and ratified. And that is what will bring it about. And also, we have to stay safe. We have to be out of prison. We have to guard against being assassinated, because this is a very dangerous business. Actually, what is happening is the Great Tribulation, in which, you know, we're separating the goats from the proverbial sheep, the wheat from the chaff, and it's a cleansing period on earth that is ridding the earth of evil and wickedness. And so it's a process that's necessary in order for the conditions on earth to be amenable or conducive to bring about what everybody who's civilized would want to see brought about. Uncivilized people have a different kind of vision, a different nature insofar as their energy of intention is concerned, you see.
Intention, and that is the key thing. You have people who created systems based on their intention to maintain power over others, and that's why the system that they created is collapsing, because as you said, the earth is changing. It's not going to support systems where others have, some have power over others, making others work for you, making others have to pay you to live. That's the system that is in place now, created by those whose intention was to maintain power over others. That does not work. It creates exactly what it has created, violence, behavior in which people are basically in their fears that they're not going to be able to survive and take care of their basic needs, they're committing acts of violence towards others. That's why that system is collapsing. And as you've said, this is the cleansing, getting rid of all of those systems that had as its motivation power over others. And as L.A. pointed out, there was a time when people took care of themselves. It didn't cost you to live. You had to pay somebody. You had to work in order to pay somebody. You grew your own food. You heated your own house. And the source of fire, which is free, Earth provides the light of fire free, provides daylight for free. So the source of your heating and your light cost you nothing. The substances that you burn to create fire cost nothing. So the modern-day industrialized grocery market where you have to go and buy food, so you have to work in order to get money to buy food as opposed to your grocery store being right in your backyard, all of these are enslaving systems. Instead of us teaching children how to grow food, we're teaching them how to prepare to work for somebody so they have to earn money so they can buy food. And the food that they buy is questionable in terms of its nutritional value because it's been altered so that it actually, over time, is killing you. So you're right. This is kind of cleansing of all of that. So we want our children definitely to empower themselves.
I'm informed by the writings of Shoghi Effendi and statements issued by the Universal House of Justice. And I remember reading what Shoghi Effendi wrote. He said, to the contrary, we should get right into the mix, to paraphrase him. And also to paraphrase Klaus Schwab, who's a real piece of work. No one is safe unless and until everyone is safe. The global currency reset must needs include the establishment of something akin to the so-called global pandemic treaty in accordance with government edict. Now, that is something which I wrote, which is akin to something that Klaus Schwab reportedly wrote, but it's worded in a different way. And it's a way of, we are to infiltrate the governmental apparatus. Martin Luther King Jr. said that pretty much we want our people in Democrat, Republican, Socialist, Communist, every party, every organization, so we can optimize our success in all departments of life, pretty much. And that's the very thing I'm doing. I'm infiltrating the Republican Party. I'm going to be doing what I'm going to be doing. Those who do the most good say the least about it.
Well, you know, the interesting about government, the most powerful government that controls your life is the government inside the home, and those are the two parents that run the house. We often focus on who is president, but what decisions that the president, whether it's President Biden, President Trump, President Obama, President Bush, President Clinton, what president actually affected your day-to-day activities? When you think about it, none of them. They had policies and they had opinions. And you had a Congress that made laws, but in terms of your day-to-day functioning, your house is the government that controls your life. And when the people in the house create a household environment that is cooperative, that is self-sustaining, in which all the members of the house are treated with respect and are valued and are able to contribute in some meaningful way, then you have a peaceful household, regardless of who is in office. So I agree with many of those who say that we need less government interference in people's family life, because that is true. When you have more agencies that are deciding how you should raise your children, what you should teach them, what faith they should believe in, what practice they should have, that is interference. But I do believe that, of course, as you've said, nobody is safe until everybody is safe. There has to be a universal code of ethics, of treatment of human beings that everyone must follow. It doesn't matter whether you are a street sweeper, a police officer, a bus driver, a computer technician. There has to be a universal human code of ethics that we all agree to, and no one violates that code of ethics. And the president can't teach that, but your mother and father can teach that and demonstrate it. And that's why that first lesson be one that's taught by parents, as we said, using the examples in nature, because the animal and plant kingdom, the insect kingdom, they're not at war with each other. They're demonstrating community cooperation. They're demonstrating what we, the human family, must adopt as a way of life, as you said, so that everybody is safe. Nobody's safe until everybody's safe. And that means everybody has to learn this code of ethics. Do no harm. That's the one law. And if everybody follows that, learns that in their home, and sees in practice, then everybody is safe. So this is why our New Earth homeschool curriculum has to be something that parents are the first teachers of and the first demonstrators of, so that everything that a child sees, they can evaluate. Is this following that code of ethics or is it not? And if it isn't, it's wrong. And that is how we create a society where everybody is safe, because there are no excuses for mistreatment of others. And we can teach that to our children.
There's a passage in the World Order Baha'u'llah subsection, the goal of a new world order, which I've repeated many times to the point that I've just memorized it. And it goes something like, no scheme which the calculations of the highest statesmanship may yet devise, no doctrine which the most distinguished exponents of economic theory may hope to advance, no principle which the most ardent of moralists may strive to inculcate can provide in the last resort adequate foundations upon which the future of a distracted world can be built, and no appeal for mutual tolerance which the worldly wise might raise. What it has to incorporate are frankly the Baha'i teachings, particularly the writings of Shoghi Effendi and statements issued by the Universal House of Justice. What is required is a universal compulsory Baha'i education, period. According to Andrew Nelson, of course.
Well, you know, I think that the higher wisdom that we get from many spiritual teachers certainly accentuates some basic values that are universal principles. So of alignment with a universal principle of do no harm, then we know it's something that should not be followed. If something is in alignment with that principle of do no harm, and it encourages good treatment and assistance and help of your neighbor, then it's something that should be followed. And this is an easy principle to teach children at the age of 2, 3, 4 years old. When we're thinking, okay, now it's time to shove them off to the daycare center so I can run off to a job so I can work for a living so I can pay to live, let's be in our homes teaching them this universal principle of do no harm. When we can make that the foundation of what they learn, then everything else will become so much easier. Well, we thank you so much, Andrew, for your comments. And, of course, stay with us. We're going to be opening up the mics again. And, of course, if you're on our switchboard, press 1 and give us your thoughts. Now, we have an opportunity to eradicate teaching our children a universal truth that has not been allowed to be taught. when a child is defined as to who they are, we tell them about the body they're wearing. We tell them about the place that they live. You know, love your country or love your race or whatever, love your gender. But we don't teach them who they are in a sense of an eternal spiritual being, having an experience inside a particular physical body for the purpose of learning about the people that they have chosen to come through, helping to assist in whatever is needed to help those people repair whatever mistakes they've made. All of us, whatever group we're living among right now, we are a part of a group that has made some mistakes and hurt some people. And if we are willing to be truthful and take responsibility for the mistakes we've made, then we can help our children identify themselves so much as a permanent physical identity of a race or color or ethnicity or even a landmass, but as someone who chose as a mission to assist those who created a history that brought them to this point in life. If you have chosen to be in a physical body in which those who came before you were of European descent, when you learn about those people, you will learn some of the good that they did and some of the mistakes that they made in doing harm to others. And you can be among those who help correct those mistakes. If you chose to be born inside the body in which those who came before you are of African descent, then when you learn the history of what happened, you'll learn some of the good that they did and some of the mistakes that they made. And so you have an opportunity to assist in helping correct. The body you're wearing is not a permanent identity. It's a temporary job assignment. It's an opportunity to learn from the point of view of those people who have experienced certain things based on decisions that they made as individuals and as a collective. But it's not who you are. Who you are is an eternal spirit. And you are one who has gifts, talents, skills, and interests. And whatever your spirit is drawn to, that is what you came to do. So, a teacher is one that helps you discover your purpose, exposing you to opportunities to learn. And whatever you're drawn to, that is the thing that you came here to master in order to contribute. And so, you at age 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, will take you to different places and let you see different things and let you explore different things and let you try out certain things and see what thing excites you and what thing are you drawn to learn. Are you interested in taking apart machinery to learn how to build it? Well, then we'll help you develop that skill. Are you excited about drawing pictures and being able to reproduce a visual image of things? Well, if you're an artist, we're going to assist you in developing that talent. Do you enjoy cooking food and learning how different tastes come together to enhance the flavor? Are you excited about that? Well, we will help you learn the things you need to know to enhance that skill. Are you excited about flying as you look at airplanes and are you interested in learning more about how to work with gravity and how to create motion? Well, we will help you learn all about the laws of physics as we know, and maybe even discover some new laws to help enhance your interest for what you came to contribute to the earth. We, your teachers, are here to help you discover your purpose and help you to grow in that purpose. Now, how exciting would that kind of a school environment be? Where there is no wrongdoing, there's only learning. And a child has the freedom to explore all knowledge with excitement, with joy, and not fear of reprimand because they won't sit still and curb their energy and listen and be lectured to and be forced to learn irrelevant information. How different would the human beings be that we would create, we would produce, we would allow to evolve if we truly made education something that enhanced the child's ability to evolve into who they are becoming. That's what parents have the power to facilitate in their home without interference from a government that tells them they must make their children learn irrelevant information in order to pass a test that will determine whether or not they get hired to be perpetual slaves at a factory or some other institution where they have to work for money in order to pay to live. No, that's not the new earth. The new earth is free because it doesn't cost to live. So let's take a break, and then we're going to take our next caller at 773-977. So hold on, and we will be right back. And if you are watching us on Facebook, certainly want to get your thoughts, so feel free to write in your comments, and we will be right back after this quick break. So stay.
Do you or your organization need space for an event? Call the Quarry Event Center at 2423 East 75th Street in Chicago. For your parties, banquets, award ceremonies, repasses, concerts, and business seminars, available 7 days a week, now under new management. Call us at the Quarry at 773-663-2557. That's 773-663-2557.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced, and we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
So we have to just trust in God and do for ourselves, continue to pray, I believe, because we've been out there, we've been marching. Our people are being killed. Mistakes are being made. The justice system doesn't even exist for our people. It's the biggest corruption thing in the world. So I just want to remind all of us that, you know, Mother's Day just passed, and we feel that, I believe that all of our parents did the best that they could for us, whether they did right or wrong. I feel that if a parent is alive today, I don't know whatever the situation might be, to be alive, they should talk to one another. The virus is going around. It's hate. I believe it's hate. Because the birds are not dying, the cats are not dying, rats, and they're not wearing masks. Nobody's dying. We're dying now. So we just remember, and we have to appreciate our mothers and fathers, even if they did right or wrong. You know, the Bible said to honor thy mother and father, and so many other things, but we're not in prayer meeting right now. But and I'm thanking God for all of us right now, for everybody who didn't even think about saying thanks. And I'm enjoying the show, but what are we going to do? We're here, we're talking. We have very intelligent people on this station. I mean, you're talking about intelligence. And they don't have to meet anymore. It can all be done on Zoom. And Naima's doing it right now, as a matter of fact. That's all I have to say for today. I love you all. God bless you.
Well, God bless you, Lord, and we certainly appreciate you. And you said a mouthful in helping us to realize that the people that we've been relying on are not the people that can help. And so we've gone through this great odyssey to come back to the realization that the Creator, of whom we are all a part, is the energy which can create that which needs to be created in order to change the condition that we have allowed to evolve, this mess we have made. And we have the power to fix it. But as you said, Lois, we most definitely have to realize that the politicians that we've been relying on and the government structures we've been relying on, none of these have fixed the problem. Wise man once said, you can't fix the problem with the same mind that created it. You must change your mind. As long as we're thinking in the way we have been indoctrinated to think, we're going to keep producing the same condition that we have produced, which is one that is harmful and hurtful and not beneficial to the human. We have to get rid of systems that reinforce someone having power over others, someone having control over others, and someone keeping others in fear of not being able to survive. Our children don't need to be indoctrinated into a system in which other people control them. They need life skills. They need to work with Mother Earth that gives them everything they need for free. And I believe L.A. said about the only thing that they that might be learning in school that is actually accurate to some degree. There's still some principles that haven't been learned. But mathematics, numbers, because everything is a number. And learning how to calculate, well, that's a great skill because you'll need that with various things that you do, even if it comes to cooking, measuring, you know, how much flour to put in a loaf of bread. But things that our children need to learn are first the ethics of respecting each person's individuality, each person's worth, each person's value, and doing no harm. That has to be at the foundation. And we can't teach it if everywhere they look, they're seeing injustice, as Lois spoke of, the injustice, the corruption. So in order for us to be able to help our children evolve into who they came to be, we must be truthful about what it is they're seeing. These people are treating others wrong. These people are treating others harmful. These people are being untruthful. Let them be the child that tells the truth, like the child told the truth about the emperor. He's wearing nothing. He has nothing on. Look at these people who we have put in position to take care of the people. Why are they withholding some things from others? That's incorrect. If people who we select to be responsible for the distribution of all the things that we're collectively producing, food, clothing, housing, then why aren't they doing it in a way that's fair and equitable? Why are they allowing some people not to have and then punishing them for not having it? That's not right. We need to show that to our children and see, this is a system that you are being prepared to replace because it's wrong. People are hurting people, and that's not right. 4-year-old child can see that. And so that's how we teach, by allowing them to see the truth of what is and then exposing them to the possibility of what can be and what should be and what must. As Lois said, look at the animals. Nobody's wearing masks. No one's suffering. What are they doing that we're not doing? Why are we suffering from a disease, a virus, and no one else in nature is? That's something to point out to a child, because it's a scientific principle that they will be inspired to explore and learn and understand. Let's go to our phone line and take another call before we open up all the mics at the end for a nice little roundtable discussion. And let's go to area code 312-823 and rising. Thank you for joining us. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comments.
Grand Rising. This is Rashida Ali.
Well, Rashida Ali, always good to hear your voice.
Mm-hmm. Good to hear yours, too. I'm thinking that most times when I've had expectations, I always have disappointment. So I learned not to expect none of our elected officials to do anything unless I make them accountable. So we need to teach more adults, as well as that we teach the adults and they can teach the children how to make those people that we expect to be accountable, be accountable. We need to understand, you know, how to make those in office accountable to us and administrate and adjudicate accordingly for our needs.
Your phone is a bit muffled. I'm not sure what you need to do to fix that, but your sound is going in and out. You mentioned, of course, is that better?
Yes. Is it better?
Yes, that's better. Go ahead.
Hello? Yeah.
Yes.
So I think that we need to teach accountability and develop programs and services that will make those in authority accountable. Because I think it's a shame if a child goes to school and doesn't know how to count. The parents are supposed to be accountable for teaching the children at home, but some parents just don't know themselves. So we who have put ourselves or are in a leadership position should hold those that need to be held accountable. Even if it comes to, in my opinion, legislative issues, issues that we can't have the power as individuals to change, such as, you know, the unsolved homicides among our own communities. Now, so we have to start doing accountability programs and, in my opinion, focusing on how to develop those types of services and programs, because it's easy to talk about a problem. We're talking about slavery. We're still talking about slavery. And we're still, in my opinion, in servitude So I would like to see some type of service that we can unite and make those accountable, especially for the mental health issues that are having us to harm ourselves and others. So that's my opinion. You know, we can't say, well, we had a president and we had a congressman, and those people have to be held accountable. They can't just be accountable to us, because we are the only ones. We the people develop these rules, laws, and this land. But we need to get involved and be accountable ourselves. Me and everyone else, it's a problem. The problem when a female don't feel safe at home and don't feel safe in her community, or a child doesn't feel safe in school or in their community, we can't look outside of ourselves. We have to look within. And if we didn't make President Obama accountable, and we aren't making the congressman and our representative accountable, then it's we the people that need to be accountable. So that's all I have to say about that, because it's frustrating, you know, within the news breaks, and all we see is, you know, homicide among myself, and it has me depressed. So,
don't get depressed, because everything is a lesson. Everything is to teach us. You learn how something should be by seeing how it shouldn't be. We learn how to love by experiencing what love isn't. And we learn what we want by experiencing what we don't want. So we're in the process of creating, like Andrew was saying, this is a cleansing. So when you go inside your house and, you know, let's say you got clothes all over the floor and the dishes in the sink and there's dust on the furniture and just, you know, dirt everywhere, beds aren't made and everything. So you have to go through the process of getting things in order and cleaning up, right? You know, you got sweep and, you know, mop and everything. I mean, the floor is a mess while you're mopping it up, right? There's water all over the place. So you mop up the floor and you wash the dishes. And, you know, of course, you got dishes all in water and things as you're washing. And, you know, you got dust everywhere where you're dusting. So while you're in the process of cleaning, things look a bit disorganized. They look like a mess. But once you're done, what does your house look like then? After you've finished the process of cleaning and organizing and throwing out the trash, getting rid of that which created the disorder, getting rid of the garbage, taking it out so that you don't have the smell of rotting food and everything in your house, you get rid of the garbage and everything is clean and neat and deodorized, then how you feel, of course, then you're at peace. So we have to look for what the house will look like when it's clean. That's the vision we have to keep when you're cleaning. You keep that vision in your mind of what the house is going to look like once the cleaning is done. That's what we're looking at, focusing on what is the end result going to look like. After all of this mess that we've made is cleaned up, what it's going to look like is a clean, organized, good-smelling house that we can be at peace in. That's what the goal is. So right now we're in that cleansing process where things look like they're in disarray. But when you're in the middle of cleaning, you don't get upset and depressed. You just say, okay, well, I got to keep moving until I get this clean. And then when it's done, then you're at peace. So that's all it is. We just have to know what phase that we're in. So thank you, Rashida. We appreciate that. I think we got time for one more call. We got 407-701, I believe we've got our sister Beata on the line. Grand Rising.
Grand Rising, sister. Wonderful topic. And I couldn't hear everything Rashida was saying, but I heard the word frustrated. And I thought I'd share just a little bit about my new client that I have who has fibroid tumors in her uterus. And they're so huge, the doctors say if she does have an operation, she could die and all this. So I'm looking at the end result of being frustrated, because after asking to this woman, the initial interview I do, I give a free 15-minute interview, and I had ended up talking to her for almost 45 minutes because she was not very transparent. Finally, I asked her about a relationship in her young life, and what the word that came out about the relationship. I said, well, why did you leave that relationship? Well, I was frustrated, and I thought, okay. And I said, you realize that frustration, if you keep being frustrated when you're triggered by things, that may be what caused those fibroids to grow. So just a word of encouragement that we listen to our emotions and realize if we don't, like you just said, Naima, if we don't clean house of the emotions like frustration, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, then the body starts growing things in us. And I think that's the Creator's way of getting our attention. So let us be very mindful of all that you have said today in this beautiful show, and that we clean house, because the end result is there are consequences to holding on to frustration when there's not a lot you can change about the situation. So may everyone be blessed today to listen to the words we speak, and especially listen to our feelings that we have about the situations around us, because our body's going to respond either with energy and healing and vibration, or it's going to grow things in there because we're at such a low frequency. So thank you, Naima, for a great show, and everybody have a wonderful day. It's sunny. Get out in the sun. Please get out in the sun. Keep your body safe. Shalom.
Shalom. That's right. Get out in the sun. Enjoy nature. Frustration comes with the belief that we can't do anything about our circumstances.
We've come to the end of our show.
But in
today,
fact, we have all the power
in
our hands.
The archives.
That's what we're saying.
Blogtalkradio.com.
You control your own thoughts. You control your own surroundings. What you surround yourself with in your home. That is where your power is, and that is all the power that you need.
You can
and if you are a parent, you're controlling what those children learn inside that home. You have the power in your hands to give them knowledge that is empowering. Don't get frustrated about what someone else is doing. They're responsible for themselves. You have power in your hands to create.
Like
so we want to thank all of you. And, of course, we invite you all
to
call in and call back tomorrow. We'll have a great author on. If you want to keep discussing the power that we're seizing in our hands to create, we are creating the new earth. And we thank you all for being a part.
Zanyaba, Japan, Arigato, Korea, Kamsahamnida, Russia, Spasiba, Germany, Danke, Poland, John Cunyum, France, merci, Spain, gracias, Italy, grazie, Egypt, shukran, Ghana, medasi, Nigeria, eshe, South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Jerez, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you, and may peace be upon you, and the mercy of God, and God's blessings.